The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, send her an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome to Down the Garden Path. Thank you very much for joining me this evening. My goal for this show every week is to provide down-to-earth practical advice and tips for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And of course, my favorite topic of landscape design. Great landscapes start with a great plan, after all. But tonight, we are once again going to be talking about critters. Last week, we talked about the importance of bees in our gardens and our yards. And tonight, we're also going to talk about critters, both beneficial and ones we want to welcome to our yard and ones that we want to try and discourage. So I would like to welcome Jane from the Urban Nature Store. The Urban Nature Store has 6 locations around the GTA, and they carry a wide variety of products from bird seed and feeders to pest control products and a large variety of giftware. We are going to discuss many of those products today, right, Jane?
Right.
Excellent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I want to say one thing, because at the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the pest control things that, you know, that your store offers and sells. And I wanted our listeners to know if they have any questions that they could email them in, you know, get them rolling in. And that way, when we get to that topic, we can answer some questions. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Excellent. So we're going to talk about the beneficial birds that we love and want to have in our gardens and our yards.
Yes. So I always say the first thing that I love to hear in March is the call of the red-winged blackbird.
Ah.
At that point, I know that winter is almost over, which is such a welcoming thought after this last winter.
For sure.
So cold.
Now, have you seen them? I haven't seen any.
Yes, I keep a journal, actually.
Oh, okay.
Of when I see the birds every year, so I know when to expect them. And I saw the red-winged blackbird in the middle of March.
Excellent.
And along with the red-winged blackbirds, at the same time tends to come the grackles, the cowbirds, and the robins, of course, are becoming more abundant at that time as well.
All right. But I find that interesting that you look for the blackbird. I know most red-winged blackbird, most people think of the robin, but they tend to, you and I were discussing earlier, they tend to sometimes even winter here.
That's right. If the trees that have berries and fruit are abundant in the summer, the robins can stay over winter and eat from the burying trees. I know if you've ever been to Heber Downs.
Yeah.
My husband and I went there last year, and we saw a whole flock of robins, and that was in January.
Okay.
So if there's abundance of berries, robins can stay.
They can make it through. Well, that's good. And I'm sure the birds had a really hard time this winter with all the snow cover. I know my in-laws' feed the birds down in, oh my goodness, the name just went out of Lynn Shores and Thixon Woods. Mm-hmm. They go down in that area quite a bit. And I know my mother-in-law was quite concerned about the extended period of cold and height of snow, and the bird feeders were empty, so she was down there topping them up.
That's very true. When my husband and I go down there, and when we were there, it's the first time that the chickadees and birds have followed us around the whole path.
Wow.
Not just at the beginning of the chickadee trail, but yes, there was so many birds because of the weather.
Yes, and there's such a great area. And if our listeners have never wandered down there to look at the birds, it really is a treat. The chickadees come to your hands and will feed off of your, you know, take the sunflower seeds right out of your hands. It's a great It's a great day out to do that, or a great morning, I guess. It's really a nice thing to do in the winter, especially to get outside and know that you're feeding the birds, and it's just watching nature is really enjoyable.
And just to touch on this past winter and how very cold it was, if any of you out there have heated bird baths, good for you, because it gives the birds a source of drinking water, which they don't have in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't use them to bathe in. They use them for drinking water.
Okay.
So that's really important. But now that winter is over, let's move on.
Yes.
To spring.
Let's talk about the spring migration. So birds, I know my in-laws are also avid bird watchers, have been out looking for swans and different birds in different areas. So they're waiting mm-hmm. for the birds to migrate in or migrate up, I guess.
And a lot of them are here already.
Okay.
As I said, the in mid-March, we started seeing the red-winged blackbirds and grackles, as I said, cowbirds, the northern mockingbirds and the robins. But the female red-winged blackbird, she just appeared in my yard last week. She comes after the male.
Okay.
So when you're expecting to get your lovely migrating birds coming back, it's really important at this time of year to clean your feeders out.
Oh, okay.
And make sure they're nice and clean. And by doing this, if you can take them apart as much as you can, as much as it will let you take them apart,
uh-huh.
and clean them out with a good birding brush, and then soak them in one part bleach and 10 parts water.
And okay, so you need bleach. It's not just a soap and water type thing.
I tend to use either bleach or vinegar.
Okay.
But the one part bleach to 10 parts hot water and just letting them soak, it honestly can make your feeder just look brand new again. And then it's clear of any bacteria or anything that could have settled in over the winter.
Okay. Well, that's great advice. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So what else aside from food, what else are the birds looking for?
In the spring?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's fresh seed and offering different kinds of seeds.
Okay.
So the birds that are going to be coming back towards the end of April are going to be your orioles, hummingbirds, rose-breasted grosbeaks, and eastern kingbirds, things like that. So I know a lot of people also have problems with raccoons coming out of hibernation mm-hmm. and getting up to their bird feeders. But for the cardinals and the rose-breasted grosbeaks that are coming back, if you have a large hopper feeder and a large tray feeder, something with a big feeding area, to put safflower in that, the cardinals and the grosbeaks and your little house finches that are back, they really like that seed,
okay.
but the squirrels, grackles, and raccoons do not.
Oh, that's a good one.
So it's not a feeder. If you find you're having to bring feeders in at night mm-hmm. because of the raccoons, you don't need to do that with safflower.
Okay. That's great. And that's good if you have one of those, you know, that aren't necessarily squirrel-proof.
That's right. A nice big feeder that's not squirrel-proof, to put safflower in it.
Okay. Okay.
Well, and you also want to be starting out to clean out your hummingbird and oriole feeders as well, and you can do that in the same manner as your seed feeders with the bleach and water.
Okay.
But if you don't have an oriole feeder or a hummingbird feeder and you want to attract these birds, you want to get the feeders out by the end of this month.
Okay.
A really good oriole feeder that we carry in the store is called the Ultimate Oriole Feeder.
Okay.
And it's an all-in-one feeding station for the orioles. It has a bowl for the nectar in the bottom. It has little small plastic spikes to hold orange slices or halves. I myself use just orange slices of orange so they can get it all and there's no waste.
Okay.
And it has pockets for jam.
Oh,
and we
wow.
sell the birdberry jelly at Urban Nature Store. And also grapes. They like red grapes cut in half.
Really? So there's it's like a little buffet for Orioles.
It's a breakfast buffet.
Oh, my goodness.
And you'll find that the robins will also go to the grapes.
Okay.
And it's amazing to see how much bigger they live side by side.
Yeah.
It's like Davy and Goliath.
Oh, wow. So now give us that name of that bird feeder again.
It's the Ultimate Oriole Feeder.
Ultimate Oriole Feeder. Okay.
And we do offer many varieties of Oriole feeders in the store, but that was my feeder of choice last year because it offered everything mm-hmm. in one feeding station.
Now, is that best hung in a tree? Can it be hung on a shepherd's hook in the garden?
It can be hung anywhere. A lot of customers like to hang it in the shade, but you just want to make sure that it's visible to the Orioles, that it's not hiding underneath a tree.
Okay.
At first, when you're trying to attract them, once they're there, you could move it to a shadier location because that stops the nectar from going off.
Okay.
Nectar in Oriole and hummingbird feeders needs to be changed every 2 or 3 days, and in the summer when it's very hot, every day.
Okay.
As soon as the nectar's gone cloudy, it's gone off, and they're not going to drink it.
Okay. So hear that. So I know that some people, I know I used to just leave it till it was gone, and then, well, really it was just filled with ants. It wasn't, the birds weren't drinking it, you know?
We also sell ant motes that you can hang over an Oriole or hummingbird feeder.
Really?
When you do that, what you want to do is fill it with water and add just a drop of dish soap or vegetable oil.
Okay.
And that stops the water from evaporating.
Okay.
So then that way when the ants go down the pole that's holding the feeder or the connecting piece, they're going to drown in there before they can get into your bird feeder.
Excellent. You guys, everybody's thought of something. Boy, all the different solutions. So that's wonderful.
And also if people are looking to purchase a hummingbird feeder, it's a really good idea to get one that has little perches for them to sit on. A lot of people think that they just hover to feed, but they don't. They really like perches to sit on. And we carry a lot of different models to choose from. One of the ones that I like is called the Dr. JB Hummingbird Feeder.
Okay.
It has bright colors on it, not just the red.
Okay.
It has turquoise, yellow, and green. And they are attracted to the bright colors.
Okay.
And if they want just the red, a lot of our Droll Yankee feeders and aspects, they have just red.
All right.
And we have another new product that I think you'd like too, is the Hummingbird Swing.
Okay, swing.
So because hummingbirds' feet are so tiny, when they're sitting on a tree, they either have to look for new growth or part of the tree that's dead and tiny.
Okay.
But if you put one of these little swings out for them, they can perch on that. And if you hang it close to the feeder, it's a good place for them to perch and guard the feeder because they're very territorial.
All right. Yes, I've heard that. You see those photos, too, of them kind of chasing each other away.
Yes. The only time you'll see many hummingbirds at a hummingbird feeder is after a landfall, when they've come across the lake or they've come across the Gulf of Mexico, then yes, you might see a lot of hummingbirds at the feeder at one time, but not so much by the time they get up here.
Okay. And how do they find it? Like, what is the best way to, is it just luck that you happen to be in the route?
Well, they do go back to the same places every year, but if you are trying to attract them for the first time, tie red ribbons on branches. Lots of red if you're trying to attract them for the first time. Even on the connector piece that's holding the feeder, you can tie a big red ribbon around it.
Huh.
Especially if you choose a feeder that isn't red.
Okay. All right. Wow. So that's great. Great advice. Because I know someone had mentioned to me on Facebook that she's already got her feeder out. So
I have my Oriole feeder out. I don't have my hummingbird feeder out yet, but I have had customers in the store saying they've seen Orioles already.
Okay.
I haven't.
Yeah.
I usually get mine right around Mother's Day.
Okay.
But I always put my feeder out early just in case there's some early scouts.
Right.
Because they like to be where there is a, you know, nectar available to them. And also by planting red flowers and honeysuckle,
yes,
things that they like. And you'd know more about that than I would.
Yes. I mean,
all the different flowers.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Now, the challenge with that is most of those are later summer bloomers,
mm-hmm,
you know, for
mm-hmm
us. So there really isn't anything in the garden yet in the spring to attract them.
That's why it's important to put the nectar
yes
out now.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and we do sell ready-to-use nectar.
Okay.
So if you see them and you're like, oh my goodness, if you make your own, I don't have time to boil the water, let it cool, you can buy the ready-to-use.
Okay.
And you just mix it with cold water.
All right. That's
you don't
good
need to boil the water.
And do you have a quick recipe for our listeners who want to make it at home?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
All you do is use 1/4 cup white sugar, just table sugar, nothing fancy.
Okay.
And 1 cup boiling water.
Oh, okay.
So 1/4 cup to 1 cup boiling water. And I personally don't use food coloring because it's not good for the hummingbird eggs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, because it's more important that the feeder and the other things of red attract them. It's not necessarily the liquid, right?
That's right. Well, yeah, but yeah, they like the sugar nectar, but it doesn't have to have food coloring in
right
it.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. So is there a different type of feed? Like some of the birds that are migrating, they're coming quite a distance. Do they need, you know, more of a higher protein bird food this time of year versus what they need, you know, in July?
Well, the sunflower seed is always number one on all of their lists.
Okay.
Because all the birds like sunflower.
Yes.
And if you're worried about if you have a very nice manicured backyard and you don't want shells on the ground.
Okay.
We do offer 2 different mixes that are totally garden friendly.
Really?
Okay. One is the sunflower hearts, which is the black oil sunflower without the shell.
Okay.
And we're offering a new mix this year that I'm excited about, which is called the Happy Garden Mix.
Okay.
And it has sunflower hearts, peanut halves, so again, no shells, and dried fruit.
Okay.
So this is the first time we've offered one with dried fruit, which might attract different birds.
Right. Okay.
So that's something new.
Yeah.
But again, this doesn't make a mess on your grass, nothing's going to sprout.
Okay, that's a good thing. And because also we'll talk about it later in the show, but that does attract, when there's lots of stuff on the ground, then it does attract other critters, right?
That's right, because they're coming, yeah, they
yeah
can see all the shells. And also some birds, we do carry good mixes in the store, our Fiesta mix and red carpet, that have sunflower, safflower, peanuts, good food, but some of the birds toss out what they don't like,
right.
And that's what ends up on the ground.
Right. Okay. All right. And there's some birds, you know, like not everybody wants more. I mean, I think a bird is a bird. You want to attract them all, but I know like mourning doves, they tend to be grazers and birds that kind of, don't they eat kind of the leftovers of what the other birds are discarding?
Yeah, the mourning doves, they do like the safflower.
Okay.
But they unless they have a big hopper feeder to feed from, you'll usually see them on the ground.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that is good. And I know there are lots of, you know, if you're interested in garden plants or shrubs to add to your garden for food for your plants. Again, it's usually later summer, midsummer, but things mm-hmm like native plants like serviceberry, flowering dogwoods, those two are my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have spring flower for those gardener in you. And then in midsummer, they have berries for the birds. And then they both have a beautiful fall color. So they're a real great shrub for both the gardener and the birder. And viburnums are also another. It's a huge plant family. And many are great options for the garden, also with the spring flower and the berries.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I need to get some of those.
Yeah, definitely. Serviceberry especially, I think, is a great choice. So I think we'll pause there, Jane, for a commercial break, and we will be right back. All right.
Thank you.
You are listening to Down the Garden Path, and we'll be right back on Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price.
Welcome to One Love Caribbean Groceries and African Foods, located at 595 King Street East, Wilson and King Street in Oshawa. They carry a wide variety of delicious tropical fruits, vegetables, spices, halal meats, fresh fish, fresh roti, patties, cosmetics, and much, much more. Their friendly staff will be happy to serve you with all your West Indian grocery needs. One Love Caribbean Groceries, located at 595 King Street East, just a few steps east of Wilson on King Street in Oshawa. Their telephone number is 905-440-4632. That's 905-440-4632.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and landscaping design. Listener participation is strongly advised.
Sweet Susie Q, she was a rebel. No angel wings, more like the devil. She was so hot, so cool and nasty.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, send her an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now back to the Queen of Gardening, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. We are back. You're listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101 with my guest, Jane Parody from the Urban Nature Store. Welcome back, Jane.
Thank you so much.
So what else should we talk about with the oncoming birding season just upon us?
All right. I often have a lot of customers come into the store that ask about feeding suet.
Oh, okay.
And should it only be fed in the winter? Yes, mm-hmm. It's very important to feed in the winter because it gives the birds a nice high-fat commodity to keep them warm during the night. However, I do feed suet in the spring and summer. I find it amazing to watch the woodpeckers and even the orioles. They take beakfuls of it back to their nest.
Oh.
It's like baby food.
Yeah, so then they're feeding their babies with
it. They're feeding the babies with it. And we have one particular one that the Orioles loved last year, and it was our Mill Creek fruit and nut suet. It's the first time I've ever seen an oriole at a suet feeder.
Wow.
And they would just take beakfuls back to their nests.
Well, we also
offer a special suet for robins, which goes in a special suet feeder that has a stake, and it goes into the ground rather than hanging.
Okay, so the first vision that comes to my mind, Jane, is that the suet is filled with little worms.
Yeah, and bugs, probably. Okay. That's right, yeah.
And just, you know, you like have that picture, right, of a robin with a worm in its mouth and its beak, right? So,
yeah.
So that's good. Okay.
But it's a new product that we brought in last year, and it gives robins a chance to eat the suet as well, but they don't have to cling as the other birds do. They can eat it right on the ground.
All right. Okay.
And they also like mealworms.
Mm-hmm.
And we do offer dried mealworms. If any of your listeners are lucky enough to have bluebirds.
Oh, yes.
We have bluebird feeders, and we have mealworms.
And mealworms. Okay, and so how would you, is there a particular feeder must be for the mealworms?
Well, they're dried. They're not live, so you don't need to worry about them climbing out.
All right, but do you, like, just sprinkle them in your garden?
I actually mix them in the winter with my regular seed feeders just so the birds can get an extra bit of protein. But if you're feeding for bluebirds, you just need to have a mealworm feeder, which we also offer in the store.
All right. I think your birds that visit your house are very spoiled.
Oh, they are. Yeah. That's what happens when the kids move out.
That's right. Oh, is that what? So, because that's happening for me in September. So is that where I'm going? I guess I'm coming to the Urban Nature Store.
That's right. And another important feature, again, to keep going throughout the summer is the water.
Okay.
And the nice thing about having a bird bath is it might get you other birds that aren't necessarily feeder birds at your feeders, but to come for water in your garden.
All right.
Okay. So it gives you a chance to see something that you might not see.
Right. And I think you've mentioned the last time you were here, there is something that you can, because I know everybody is concerned. I know most of my customers, when I talk about bird water features in their gardens and bird baths, are concerned about mosquitoes.
Okay.
So you have something, don't you?
We do. We have what's called a water wiggler.
There you go. I couldn't think of the name.
Yeah. It keeps the water moving.
Okay.
And so the larvae, the mosquitoes won't.
Right.
They don't like that.
Right.
But honestly, like when customers of mine are really worried about the mosquitoes, you should be changing the bird bath water again every couple of days.
Okay.
And that's going to stop the larvae.
Yeah.
From it even being an issue.
Yeah. And most bird baths aren't really that deep.
No.
And I find the water, like especially in the midsummer, you know, the water, either the birds are using it and it's evaporating, and you need to constantly top it up. So
that's
I don't know that it's, I mean, I try to reassure my customers as well that it's not as much of an issue, but it's good to know that you have those little wigglers.
Yeah, the water wigglers, and they come with a natural brook sound. We have one with northern lights for the romantic evening bathers.
Wow.
But, yeah, we have a big variety of that. And we also carry little fountains that can be put into a bird bath.
Oh, okay.
And that's always a fun thing to do. I have one, and it's a solar-powered fountain that goes in a bird bath. And when I say fountain, I'm talking bird bath size, not fountain size. So the spray is only maybe 8 inches.
All right.
In full sun.
Okay.
But the hummingbirds love that.
Oh, really?
Because they'll dart in and out of the water.
Okay. So it's something that you sit in the sun. I'm trying to picture it. I know this is the one challenge with radio, right? Trying to describe things.
Well,
so
it can either float.
Oh, okay.
It has a circular base that can float in your bird bath if your bird bath is deeper. But if your bird bath isn't deep, it also has the little suction cups that will attach to the bottom of your bird bath. I think I just said feeder.
Yeah.
But it will attach to the bottom of the bird bath.
Okay.
And it's got three different heads on it. You can have a fine spray, a heavier spray, or a drip.
Hmm.
And I find the drip is the one that the hummingbirds go to.
Really? And do you have it situated near your feeder?
My backyard's very small, so everything's close.
Okay, all right. So yeah,
mine are all on my deck.
Okay, so it's the the Jane's bird feeding station is in the backyard, right?
That's right. That's right. If you're lucky enough to have like a nice big backyard,
yes,
you could put your bird bath maybe where the birds can take cover as well.
Mm, yeah,
maybe like a spruce tree or a cedar hedge, or things like that.
Yeah.
If you have a small yard like me, everything's on the deck.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Another thing that we could touch on briefly is the nesting needs.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So we offer many different kinds of bird houses and also nesting material. We have a little cotton ball that you can hang in a tree or on a shepherd's hook, and the birds cling to the outside. It has netting around it.
All right.
And the birds pull the little pieces of cotton out for their nests. So that's always nice to put out for them. And then again, offering a nesting box.
Now, I always wonder, do they use them?
Certain birds do use the nesting box. Now, some of the birds have already finished their nesting. Mm. Or not finished, but finished building their nest.
Right.
Your chickadees are probably already got, probably have their nest going.
Right, they're established.
Yeah. But the other birds that use them are white-breasted nuthatches, your bluebirds, tree swallows, purple martins, housefinch, great-crested flycatchers, your downy and hairy woodpecker, your northern flicker, your red-bellied woodpecker. They all use nesting boxes.
Oh, really?
And depending on the size of the opening is depending on which birdhouse you're going to purchase.
Okay.
We have small ones for chickadees and wrens, and that stops the bigger birds from going in.
Yeah.
And it's always good to put a brass portal around the opening to stop squirrels from chewing.
Oh, okay.
If it's a bigger birdhouse, because they'll turn it into a squirrel house.
Oh, okay. They'll just move, evict the birds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we also, if you have any listeners that are near water, we have wood duck houses.
Okay.
And we have owl houses and kestrels. So there's still time to put out houses for your woodpeckers, your flickers, the flycatchers, the swallows, and the nuthatch. They haven't established their nesting quite yet.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And the nesting material is always interesting to see the birds kind of, I always find, especially like after recycling day when there's, kind of litter around the yard type of thing, you see the birds, fly by with things in their mouth.
That's right.
Yeah, so it'd be nice to, actually give them nice things to work with.
And even if they are, if you have any listeners that are interested in putting up a birdhouse, it's a good idea to put it on a pole, because that way you can put a baffle on it.
Oh, right.
And that stops squirrels, raccoons, and snakes.
Snakes?
From climbing poles, yes.
Really? We need to be worried about snakes?
Snakes will steal eggs.
Oh, okay.
If they can. So putting a baffle is a will stop those predators from getting in, and then again the brass portals around the openings to deter the squirrels.
Okay. All right. And all that we can find at the Urban Nature Store.
Everything.
Okay.
And the other topic I wanted to touch on, once everybody has all their wonderful backyard flowers and their birding needs up, they might want to consider getting a pair of binoculars.
Oh, right.
And we are now carrying a new brand called Vortex. And we have binoculars and scopes with the tripods. These are very good binoculars and have lifetime warranties on them. I wish my binoculars that I had bought years ago would have had a warranty, because it is now a monocular.
Oh, is
one
it really?
One eyepiece is gone.
Okay.
So I have to look with one eye.
Well, Mother's Day is coming, so you might have to drop some hints.
That's right. But these binoculars, you could run over them with your car, and they would replace it.
Really?
The only thing you have to have is you have to have them in your possession.
Oh,
they won't cover stolen or lost binoculars, but anything that happens to them while you have them,
they
will send a replacement to you.
Oh, that's good. And do you find your customers, you know, they take them, are they using them from their home, or are they kind of, they're the ones kind of going birding and visiting?
We sell to a lot of different needs. Most of it is for birding.
Okay.
But we have had customers in that are going on cruises and going whale watching.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to need a bit more magnification than your backyard birding and, you know, going to Thixton Woods or Lynn Shores.
Okay.
And, again, we have scopes as well for people that like to look at shorebirds.
Okay.
That are usually further out. And some of these scopes you can attach your camera to or cell phone to get a picture.
Oh, that
There's
would be
adapters.
Nice.
There's adapters. Like, it's unbelievable.
Really? How they've come a long way, haven't they?
I just don't get a lot of them, but I'm learning. We've had people out training our staff.
Oh, okay.
All about good. The new things that are being offered.
Yes, the new gadgets.
So that's, it's important for listeners if they want to, if they're interested in purchasing binoculars, come into the store when they have some time.
Okay.
So they can try different binoculars and see which one works best for them.
Excellent. Okay.
And we'd certainly be able to help them with that.
All right. Well, I think it's time for another commercial break. But when we get back, we were going to talk about the pests, what to do about the pests we don't want in our garden, right?
That's right.
Okay. So thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path. We'll be right back on Reality Radio 101.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario, or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. 629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. When you visit Peacock Lumber, you will step back in time to a place where purchasing wood products was simple, efficient, and pleasant. In our office, you can view our large selection of moldings and receive advice from knowledgeable sales staff. Once you have decided on your order, you can pick up your materials in our drive-through yard or utilize our delivery service. For pickups, take your vehicle out to our traditional lumber yard, where someone is always there to assist you. If you are accustomed to purchasing wood products at a box store, you will be impressed by the variety, selection, and quality of products that we offer and the ease in which you get your vehicle loaded and get you on your way. Peacock Lumber is conveniently located on 8 acres in central Oshawa. It was started in 1939 by Victor Peacock and remains family-owned and operated. If you need quality wood products for your renovation, please call us at 905-725-4744. That's 905-725-4744. Or for a full list of products and prices, go to www.peacocklumber.ca. Come to Peacock Lumber first to get the price, selection, quality, and service that you expect. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, always walking on sunshine, Joanne Shaw.
I like that song, Gary. I think that's a good choice.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And welcome back to Down the Garden Path. We're here on Reality Radio 101 with Jane from the Urban Nature Store. And now we are going to talk. We've talked about the birds that we want to attract to our garden, but now we're going to talk about the little critters that we really want to get rid of or discourage.
Okay, so most of the questions we're asked at this time of year is how to keep squirrels, raccoons, rabbits, or deer
okay
from eating your plants or disturbing your garden.
Okay. Yeah, I'm asked about rabbits the most, deer a little bit, but in cottage country especially, but that is a big topic for me as well.
So normally it's best to use a few different products together that complement each other. After all, we are dealing with wild animals who all react differently to different products. So one of the examples that we have in the store is called PlantSkid. PlantSkid was developed by the Swedish Forestry Service to protect plants against elk. Hmm. So it works really well to protect plants and bulbs against rabbits and squirrels.
Okay. PlantSkid.
Yes.
Okay.
PlantSkid. And it tricks them into thinking that the area is a kill zone.
Oh.
So they're not going to be digging up your bulbs or eating your tulips or eating your euonymus.
Yeah, it's a popular one, yep.
Yeah, and even cedar hedges.
Yeah.
So it can be sprayed onto the either plant or tree or shrub when the plant or tree or shrub is dry. And it will adhere for 2 to 4 months.
Okay, so meaning like not when it's wet and rainy
type
of thing.
Yeah, you don't want to put it on when it's been wet.
Okay. And is this the time of year or should we wait probably?
I've had people coming in already saying that they're eating the tulip leaves.
Yeah.
And so you want to spray that.
Okay.
And there's another product also that's called Scoot.
Yes. Okay.
Have you heard of Scoot?
Yes.
That adheres for a season.
Okay.
So a lot of people put that on in the fall to stop them from eating the cedar hedges, anything under the snow.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But the issue, I think, for a lot of the animals, like even the rabbits, it tends to, because now they can reach things that they wouldn't normally be able to reach because they're on top of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's, they tend to feast on burning bush. That tends to be one of their.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. People often wonder, well, I didn't cut it back in the fall. What happened to it? And
that's right.
It's just been pruned very nicely by rabbits.
That's right. Well, another thing that works well for the rabbits are the predator urine.
Okay.
And that with the predator urine, though, they have to be put out every couple of days for the first 2 weeks.
Oh, right.
And once a week after that.
Okay.
Because they're not going to want to bring their young or anything where they think there's a predator.
Yeah, that there's danger. Okay.
But there's also another product that we have, which is called the Sonic Shield. It's battery operated and it's motion activated. It barks and has a strobe light, which frightens the animals.
Wow.
Now, there's a day and night setting, so you don't have to have the dog barking at night.
Okay. And you can frighten your neighbors as well.
That's right. But using that with the PlantSkid.
Okay. It's a good combination.
Or a predator urine would be a really good way to keep the raccoons, especially.
Okay.
Away.
And does dog barking really?
Well, they're startled.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. They're in a yard and they don't see a dog.
Yeah.
And then they come up to do something, whether it's using your deck for a bathroom
Yes, trying to get into your roof. We had a huge problem in the fall with at our house. So we've got our house is fortified against raccoons with metal, you know, all over the place, unfortunately.
Well, that's a good thing that you fixed
I guess. Well, but it was a very expensive thing. So I think it would have been smarter to prevent it, right, by having something like this as opposed to waiting until they've already, you know,
so were
moved
they
in.
Trying to get into your attic?
They were in. Yeah, there were three. We saw the one above our garage. We could see the soffit. I just was out in the garden one day, and I'm like, oh, what's all this white stuff? And it's like, oh, that's insulation. And then I look up, and I'm like, oh, boy. And then when we had someone come and look, there were two other entrances as well.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were quiet because we certainly didn't hear them. But they were there for a while, apparently. So they had done, a fair bit of damage at all three entrances.
Oh, my goodness.
And, so that was...
The other thing you could do with that, with the predator urines, is put them in a lady's knee-high stocking.
Okay.
And twist tie it off like a little ball so you'd only have a tablespoon in it because they are granular.
Oh, okay.
And you could put that in your attic. A lot of people do use that in their boats as well in marinas over the winter.
All right. Okay.
To keep.
I didn't realize that it was granular.
Yes, it is a granular.
So it's a granular. Okay.
So another one that we have for those little squirrels that like to chew on wood is a super bitter tasting spray.
All right.
We've had customers come in that said the squirrels are chewing their windowsills.
Yep. I've heard
of that. So if you spray that, it makes it taste very bitter.
Okay.
And they won't want to chew on it anymore. And another one is a night guard, which is an infrared light that flashes. It's solar powered. And it makes them feel like they're being watched.
And that's squirrels?
That's raccoons.
Raccoons.
This is more your nighttime predators.
Okay, nighttime predators.
And what you want to do with that one is put it at the eye level of the animal that you're trying to get rid of.
All right.
So a raccoon would maybe be 6 to 8 inches off the ground.
Okay.
But if you had deer, you'd have to have it higher.
A little bit higher. And how about skunks? I know they can be, you know, they're a little bit more, less common, but they do get under people's sheds and decks.
Again, the predator urine would be good for that.
Okay.
And the other thing that we offer is a motion-activated sprinkler.
Oh, right.
It's called Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
And it hooks up to your hose. Again, it's motion-sensored.
Okay.
So when the animal comes into your backyard, it covers about 1,200 square feet, it's going to blast them with cold water.
I just think of the teenagers you can scare with that. Sorry.
That's right. And that's also good if you have cats that are coming in to use your backyard.
Yes, not your cats, right? It's not something, if you're a cat owner, it's not for your cats, but if you have other neighborhood cats or...
Or feral cats.
Feral cats and stray cats coming in and using your... Because I do get that often. Customers ask me, you know, what to do because their lovely rose garden's being used as a litter box.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
So that would be good. It would spray the cat, and the cats certainly don't like water.
Right. So you kind of just have it set up in the lawn, and it only, like you said, motion.
That's right. So it's only going to come on when it senses that the cat, raccoon, whatever, comes into the backyard or front yard.
In the area. Okay.
But the best approach for the listeners is to come into the store and describe the problem to our staff.
Oh, yes.
And then we can determine the best combination of products that's going to help solve their problem.
Okay.
And even if they wanted to bring in pictures on their cell phone of what damage has been done.
Yes. Yep. That can be very helpful, can't it?
Yeah. 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 When we can see what it is, then maybe we can, that's that predator.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there.
Okay. I had a question myself about chipmunks. I had, I think a cat got it mid-season, but last year there seemed to be a lot of chipmunks around our neighborhood, and I had them burrowing under my front stairs.
Okay. And I've had other customers come in saying that they're destroying their interlock.
Yes, that's another common
thing.
And
it's lifting up the interlock.
Yes, because they're burrowing down. It seems like they want to be under that, in that sandy kind of granular type of environment.
Again, the plant skid
Okay.
Would that's be good, good. And predator urine.
Okay. And what would be the predator for the
fox?
The fox. Okay.
Yep. Fox. Fox is everything skunk size and smaller.
All right.
And then the coyote for raccoons.
For raccoons. Okay. I'm writing that down. Size and smaller. Excellent. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know why last year was such a big year for that.
For
the chipmunks. Yeah, did you find that as well?
We only had three, but they weren't really... Well, the only thing that the chipmunk did at our place was clean me out of 7 pounds of safflower in one day.
Oh, gosh. Did you leave a container open or he got in?
No. It was a feeder. Oh. That feeder came down.
I see.
And I put up one that the chipmunk could not get up to.
So you have a feeder that holds 7 pounds worth of seed?
Of safflower.
Safflower.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that one in the winter because the cardinals are there all the time.
Oh, okay.
And until this year's chipmunk figures that out, I will leave it up. But right. If he gets up into that and starts cleaning me out, it's coming down.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jane. I think we've learned a ton today, both with regards to birds, and I know to get out my, to pick up an oriole feeder, because I'd really like to have orioles in my neighborhood. So I know that's time to get those out by the end of April. Mm-hmm. And I think you've given us some great solutions, and I liked your multi-pronged attack as far as ridding our yards of those nuisance pests.
That's right.
Yeah, like the rabbits. Is there anything else you'd like to mention or promote to our listeners?
No, we'd just love to see your listeners come into our store. We'd love to help them with any problems they have or any birding questions. We'd be thrilled to help them.
Excellent. And I know you are in 6 stores in the GTA, mm-hmm. but we do have many listeners from the United States as well. And I think they should know that you actually have an online store.
That's right. We have an online store on urbannaturestore.ca, and we ship across Canada and the U.S.
Excellent. Excellent. So go on to urbannaturestore.ca.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? Excellent. Well, thank you very much once again, Jane, for being a guest on our show. And I really look forward to having you back. And I'm sure there's going to be midsummer issues with our birds and more questions. So I really hope that you'll come back and join us.
Oh, it would be my pleasure.
I need to get you in the studio so that we could take some calls.
There we go.
Excellent. Excellent. So we'll try that.
Okay.
So thank you, Jane, and have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting.
I'm excited.
Boy, does she know her birds and
she
things.
She does know her birds. Huh. And I've had her on the show, we've bumped into each other at a whole bunch of different horticultural events and gardening shows and Canada Blooms. So I feel like Jane and I go way back. So I think it's been great.
Excellent.
And it is a great store. So please, listeners, go check it out and let them know that you heard about it here. I'd appreciate that. And so in the GTA, it's been a nice kind of cooler rainy day today. And it looks like it's kind of definitely an April showers bring Mayflowers type of week.
You're not mad at me, are you?
No, why?
Did you notice my lawn?
I didn't notice the lawn. I noticed, I think Elaine's trimmed
so
her shrubs and stuff.
But I was out raking.
Did you rake?
Yeah, but you know what? It was a good time because... there wasn't any, the ground was not, you know, like you weren't leaving footprints
right.
in the ground.
You
it wasn't muddy.
You waited until it was dry because now it would be very wet. And my dad went out and he actually even bought fertilizer and put fertilizer down. And I'm like, I don't know, Dad, it's still not the evening temperatures are still pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're even going to drop below, unfortunately, below zero this week. So again, please embrace your inner lazy gardener and
mm-hmm.
take your time and don't rush out there because there is still lots of time. And I'm really excited about next week's show, though. I have author Miriam Goldberger on, and she's going to talk about her new book called Taming Wildflowers, this special grass seed that she grows and created called Eco Lawn. So
oh,
I'm
nice.
Looking forward to talking to you more about that. So that's what's on our show next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have some more about that on social media. So please log on to downtoearth.ca and follow my all my little social media buttons are there. And log on and follow me on Twitter and Facebook. And just check out my website.
Very, very nice.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for listening tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed doing it. And thank you for joining me down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101. Good night.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.